Sir Henry Curtis here, welcoming you to another No Plan, No Script, No Bullshoney podcast. Swallow the red pill, put on the sunglasses, and prepare to see this particular physical world as it truly is, instead of the false view those running this world are projecting into your eyes and brain. Why are Americans always at war with somebody? Yes, why are Americans always at war? When I was growing up, all those communists used to call Americans, oh, you imperialist warmongers, which I always thought was kind of strange. Like, America was simply defending freedom and all that stuff. You know, well, we're defending America. No, you're not. Actually, there are a few reasons why America is always at war. For the best explanation, watch a documentary, which is very difficult to find in America, called Why We Fight. It does a great job of explaining why Americans are always at war. The hypothesis posed in the documentary Why We Fight is that defense contractors, which is really, that's an Orwellian euphemism, because they are warmongering corporations run by really evil people who like to make stuff that kills other people. So these corporations put manufacturing centers in all 50 U.S. states. That way, when a Congress critter decides that he or she wants to stop all this warmongering, then the corporation fights that Congress critter at election time by financing his or her opponent and saying, well, the elected sitting Congress critter is against jobs. Don't you want jobs? We have a factory here that makes wheels for these fighter bombers or whatever it is, or tanks or whatever. And then in another state, there'll be a factory that makes the rest of the landing gear. And another factory, there'll be in another state, will make the wings. Another factory in another state will make the electronics. Another factory in another state will make the nose. And it just goes on and on. And that way, by spreading out the manufacturing in the 50 states, they can control the entire U.S. budget, which, by the way, America spends more than, what is it, the next 3 or 5 countries combined on armament. I'm not going to say defense anymore because it's ridiculous. Who the hell's attacking America? And don't get me started on that 9/11 stuff. That was predicted, completely predicted. You know who did it? A guy named Richard Bachman. Well, his real name is Stephen King, writing as Richard Bachman, in a book called The Running Man. And the book bears absolutely no relation whatsoever to the movie. It's a dark book. It's very good. And the idea of crashing an airliner into an office building is first presented there. That's the first place I ever read it. I think Tom Clancy did it in the 80s in one of his novels, where a disgruntled Japanese pilot flew a 747 into, I think, the Capitol building. But it's been a long time since I read that one. No, the idea of flying airliners into buildings has been around for a long time and is something that defense planners ought to have considered. So, getting back to Americans and their fighting, it's basically corporate interest. As I've explained previously, your vote in America means nothing. It counts for nothing, and it's meaningless for two reasons. One, Congress critters don't care at all what you think. And two, there are voting machines, and those voting machines have software backdoors allowing the person who wrote the backdoor to go in and change the results. So your vote's meaningless, counts for nothing. And corporate entities, I'm going to avoid mentioning it. It's pretty easy to find out which ones make implements of destruction, implements of mass destruction. These corporate entities make money doing this. And first off, there's never been a weapon invented that wasn't used. There are some really nasty things in development. For example, lasers that blind people. A blind person can't fight. there are pictures of the gas warfare victims in the First World War. And they use one-sided person leads all the rest. The rest have their arms on the shoulder of the blinded person in front of them. There were people who used to do that to their captives, too, back in medieval days. I'm not sure which armies that were, but that's historical. I can't remember. It's a horrible thing to do to somebody. Anyways, these rifles and these guns fire lasers that blind the opposing. It's just, that is so disgusting. Who the hell comes up with this crap? Some real evil person, that's for sure. There are definitely characters running the show, though, who love warfare. That's pretty obvious because they're always whipping humans into it. And it's always the humans who've never experienced war who are most for it. They don't see what's wrong. Now, thankfully, I've never experienced it. I've read a lot about it. I've met lots of folks in it who've been in it. I want nothing to do with it. I think it's completely wrong. Physical violence only solves physically violent attacks. Another thing America's good at is it never takes on a real country. You can say, oh yeah, well, World War II. Well, World War II, believe it or not, was also over oil. And if you read, you know, everyone says, oh, we had to free Europe from the Nazi Germany. No, that's ridiculous. It's about oil. What were all those bombing strikes on? They were on oil, cutting off the oil supply. Why did Japan attack Pearl Harbor? It wasn't a sneak attack. It was predicted in 1938. There was an admiral who wrote about it. He said, if the administration, meaning the administration of then President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, communist bun of a sitch that he was, who stole everybody's gold and made the Depression last a lot longer than it should have because of his stupid policies. Anyways, he continued to provoke Japan. He wanted to help Britain in its war against Germany. And since Americans were neutral, he had to convince them otherwise. So in the late 1930s, he started all kinds of maneuvering to prevent Japan from acquiring the raw materials it needed. Eventually, Japan had no other choice except to attack. And the way to attack was a so-called sneak attack to wipe out the American Navy so that the Japanese Navy could sail unhindered all around the Pacific. Now, a U.S. admiral wrote an article that was published. And in that article, it was late 1930s, he said, if the present course is maintained by this current administration, Japan's going to attack us. And the best way to attack us is at Pearl Harbor in December on a Sunday morning when we're all asleep. For writing that article, he was busted, demoted from admiral to commodore, and spent the war on an oiler ship, completely out of action, somewhere in the Pacific Ocean. This is all easily found if you want to search for the documents. It's been around for a long time. I first learned of it in a novel, of all places. I think it was called Black Wind. I can't remember the author's name. Also, the U.S. Navy had decoded the Japanese codes used for military transmissions. The U.S. Navy called it purple. They knew exactly what the Japanese were doing. They knew the fleet was sailing on its way. They reported it, and nothing happened because FDR didn't want anybody to know. He wanted the sneak attack on Pearl Harbor. That's why he set he ordered the aircraft carriers out, because they needed those. There were an awful lot of Navy personnel who thought moving the U.S. fleet to Pearl Harbor from San Diego was a really stupid idea. And every head of the Navy who said something to FDR was replaced until someone who complied with his wishes. And that's another thing about war. In between wars, it's usually the politically active officers who get promoted. And then when the war comes, they totally screw up most of the time. For every General Patton who actually knew how to fight, you've got all kinds of political wannabe folks. Which reminds me, if we go back to the incident of flying jetliners into office buildings, there's another guy who predicted it, a Navy officer, retired Navy officer, Richard Marcinko. He's an interesting character. He's a Navy SEAL, decorated for his actions in Vietnam, among other places. He was the one who founded SEAL Team 6, the SEAL team that, well, the official version is they found Osama bin Laden, and then most of them died in a helicopter crash right after. I'm curious what they knew. Anyway, Marcinko formed a small unit called Red Cell. In military parlance, Red Cell is an organization that attacks its own. So they don't really attack. They just say, you know, get aboard a submarine base, sneak into a submarine base and plant fake bombs and flags that say, you know, things like People's Flatulence Army was here and stuff like that, just to let them know that the security is lacking. Marcinko was eventually prosecuted under dubious charges, and it was mostly because he made the admirals and base commanders look bad with his Red Cell. Now, he's got a video out. It was initially on VHS. It's probably available DVD now. It's called Red Cell, and it opens with pictures of an airliner flying around the World Trade Center towers. This was not new. It's not new at all. It wasn't a surprise to people in the know. He was claiming in his books for many years that airport security was lax. It's still lax. Airport security is still a joke, but that doesn't talk about war. We have to talk about war. I don't understand why Americans put up with it, except I think the only reason is they believe the nonsense. Now, if you think about it logically, what threat is an Iraqi to an American? None. What's he going to do? He's going to come over here and take your job driving a cab? Well, Uber's already done that for you. And Afghanistan, please. These folks in Afghanistan, they're goat herders. They haven't been doing anything. They've been doing the same stuff since Alexander the Great. And no one's ever conquered Afghanistan. Alexander the Great couldn't. The British couldn't. The Russians couldn't. Everybody who's tried to conquer Afghanistan has lost. Why is America there? Two reasons. One, they want to build a gas pipeline across Kandahar province to get gas from one place to another. Second, it's one of two places with large supplies of lithium, and lithium is necessary for batteries. The other place is China. America's not going to attack China because they know they'll lose. So they attack Afghanistan instead, take control of the turf they need to run their gas pipeline, and get a hold of the lithium mines. That's basically why all those people have died there and all those billions and billions of dollars have been spent there. As for Iraq, it had nothing to do with 9/11, nor did Afghanistan. Iraq has great quantities of easily obtainable oil. And that's why America is there. There's no other reason. They just created a great big mess. What bugs me is that Americans listen to this nonsense. Instead of thinking for themselves, they allow their media to program them. And media programming is a subject for another day. Thanks for listening to the No Plan, No Script, No Bullshoney podcast. This is Sir Henry Curtis signing off until our next time together. May your Schwartz go with you.